Interviews with Haunting Gurus.
It's the caretaker of Hellview Cemetery, Mr. Mark Muncer. Hey, Mark.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you, sir?
You're coming live and direct from St. Petersburg, Florida. Is that correct?
That is correct, where it's 90 freaking degrees 24/7.
Sweet. Dude, after last winter, I would freaking move to the equator. Did you see what the shit I had to deal with last winter?
Oh,
it was like a blizzard every other freaking weekend. I'm like, where do I live? Am I up in Quebec? I thought I was in Quebec or some shit. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I was not a happy camper. Dude, I would move to the equator. And I would never fucking complain about the cold again in my life.
What everybody says when they get down here. And then after about the 12 months of summer we have and the 3 days of winter, after a while, 98 degrees is not a lot of fun.
Hey, and by the way, I was watching some of your videos. I thought it was just kind of funny. There's Ghostbusters everywhere. That's what I realized.
Oh, yeah.
There's Ghostbusters everywhere. I ran to the New Jersey guys. I think one of our faithful listeners, I think it's Chris Gay, possibly. I think he's one of the New Jersey Ghostbuster guys. And then some of those guys, and I'm like, they're everywhere.
Yeah, we team up with a lot of the local fan groups. They bring out a group of, they bring out people, and it's always just cool to see, when you have stormtroopers go through your haunt.
Oh, what is that?
And they come through wearing helmets. And
I'm glad you went there. What other type of fan groups do you see come through?
We come from a big geek family down here, so we partner with a lot of the local comic cons
and
other events. There's a big convention Halloween down here called Necronomicon that they actually bring a bus out on some of our nights to come go through the haunt. But like I said, we promote them that they're coming, and it's great. Like I said, we have stormtroopers come out called the 501st Legion. I'm sure they're everywhere, too. They come out, they're wearing stormtrooper armor, but they go through, and then they halfway through the haunt, they take off their helmets, and they come out, and they come out the other side of the haunt, and they're zombified stormtroopers, and they do Thriller out in the yard and entertain the audience.
All right.
Pretty sweet. The Hero Alliance, which is a bunch of superhero guys, and
come
through all zombified. It's pretty cool to see zombie Batman walking through your haunted house.
Okay, so they all do a little bit of a zombie tinge to their the thing when they come out, or is that the way?
Usually, we one of our big things we do at our haunt is we have a, since we're usually for a children's charity, is we do a thing called Scooby-Doo tours, where we let kids go through, and it's kind of a scare light version of the haunt. We usually have cosplayers come in dressed as various characters from kids shows. Like we had Dipper from Gravity Falls and Zelda and Link from Legend of Zelda and some other characters like that, and they lead through the haunt with a torch, and it keeps the monsters at bay, so the kids still get to see the creepy, but they don't have people jumping out at them. And with that, we've teamed up with some of the local fan groups. So they come out on other nights just to have fun, but they also come out and help us do that.
Let's talk about your sickness, brother. I brought your sister, your brother, your mother. I hope none of these people are deceased right now, because I would have seemed like a real asshole if they are. We brought everybody you love, put it that way, and we have them surrounded around you. We wanted to find out what happened. When did this begin?
Oh, when Hellview began
or just your general sickness that led to Hellview. When did that begin?
Oh man, when I was a kid, we used to up in the Ohio area. There used to always be haunted houses and people's farmhouses. They would decorate and go through, and I just got addicted to them way back then. And then, cemented by local horror host Dr. Creep, showing crazy movies.
Where was he?
Out of Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
And lifelong love of horror and fantasy and science fiction from there. In the mid 90s, we started working for Horror Nights and Howl the Scream down here just for fun. We would drive all the way up to Orlando, a bunch of us carpooled to work in the haunts up there, which was, I think, only their fifth or sixth year at that time. And about that time, I became a dad, and driving 2 hours to Orlando to haunt was not really an option anymore, so we decided to build our own. And the rest is history.
And when did Hellview start? And let's talk about like how the first couple of years of you getting that haunt going.
Okay, well, basically, Hellview, we kind of based it on local legends back in the, yeah, like around 96, I want to say, 96, 97. We were decided to build, we did a little Blair Witch display in the yard. We put up a tent and some stick figures, and we did it in a couple hours. And people were like, oh my gosh, that's so creepy. And we were like, wow, we did that in a couple hours. I wonder what we could do if we, you know, put a few days in on it. So the next year, we worked on it for about a week. And then, you know, made a big pirate ship and had zombie pirates. And then the year after that was like, oh, you know what? Let's build a whole haunt. We're having too much fun. So we did. And we went all out, went all in, decided to raise money for a local charity. We probably would have made more money for the charity if we'd given them all the money we spent on building the haunt. But, you know, where's the fun in that?
If you're going to do the work, you have to have the fun. There has to be some kind of pay and reward system. That's what I'm talking about. And you're right. Absolutely. Anyway.
Yep. And then suddenly we had we went from a few hundred visitors to almost 1,000 visitors. And we're like, oh, man, we're going to have to do an extra night. Well, now, like I said, we're at about 3,000 visitors, 3,000 to 5,000 visitors a year, pushing the boundaries of what my neighborhood can handle.
You've been doing this for how many years to your start to now?
Since 96, so whatever.
In the same house, same spot, right?
Same house, same spot. Yeah, okay. Just keeps getting a little bigger every year, same yard. Well, I'll tell you, the thing with neighbors, how we've been keeping ours at bay for years is, the fact that we do it for charity is nice. And you know, then suddenly they're taking the money out of sick kids or, whatever's mouth.
Who's your charity right now, and what are you raising per year, roughly?
This year, the charity, we did three charities last year. So we had like three buckets at the end. We had one was the Kind Mouse, which is a local charity that feeds transitional families trying to get out of being homeless.
Okay.
And then we had the Florida Bat Conservancy, which is an animal charity because we had people who wanted an animal charity. And then third charity was the Pay Hellview's Electric Bill, which is the Pay Florida Power and Light. So it was our charity. It was just us. And that one actually did really well. But we made about $3,000 for the Kind Mouse and the bats. And then we did about $1,000 for ourselves, which was nice.
What you got? How much do you spend each year?
Oh, way more than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, don't shy away from being the guy who took a couple of bucks to help pay his own bills. If I was you, seriously, I'm not, and I'm an asshole. But I would take back what we made in profits to cover all the expenses, and then everything else would go to charity. I wouldn't pay a penny over it, but I would like cover your bills. And then everything else is charitable because that's what you're doing it for. So don't screw yourself.
No, anyway. And that's this year we've discussed it with the Kind Mouse. They're going to take just 20% off the top, whatever we make. So that's the plan this year. So, which is really nice.
That's very generous.
Yeah, the bad guy didn't even thank us last year. So for neighbors, I'll tell you our other secret is we bake them cookies every year. And my daughters and I will walk around and hand a little note telling them what charity we're doing, what nights we're doing, and here's a little bag of cookies. And that seemed to smooth everything over with almost 95% of our neighbors.
Yeah.
The two that are still an issue, They just ask us, and they didn't like people parking on their, you know, in front of their house. So we just took some ropes over and roped off their yards. Nobody could park there, and that solved those problems too.
Yeah, I mean, my neighbor, all he has a problem with is that people park. It's like 200 people come into the neighborhood, like, you section off your yard anyway. Put up the post, you put the yellow tape out. I mean, nobody's driving on your lawn. He was, like, basically saying I was ruining the neighborhood. I'm like, for one, when I bought this place, it was a 30-year-old a summer rental, and they had grass up to like 8 feet, and you were calling the town clerk to bitch about the fact that the grass hasn't been cut in like 5 years. I go, I buy the house, I replace all the shingles, I paint, I stain it, I do put up a fence, do all the shit, and you're complaining because I put up a Halloween yard display. That's why you're complaining. I go, I did the windows, I did the backyard, I've done everything. I would have to say I've brought life back to the neighborhood. This was mostly an elderly, like, retirement kind of community. There are more families living in this neighborhood since I've moved in, and I can tell because I walk my dogs every day all down all the different streets. There's more families in the neighborhood. This neighborhood, I would say, is more popular, and more people want to move to this neighborhood, and property values have gone up since I've been here. That I'm holding to that.
Well, that's, we had.
I don't know if you feel the same way, but I do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, well, we have the mayor comes out. Last year we had the mayor and the city council came out with all their families on this flatbed trailer. They came out and visited the haunt. It was crazy.
All right. So I guess we have to do some sort of a question and answer thing tonight. And I know we've been very loose on that promise. Okay. So let's start off with first year. Hellview started, morphed into that, into the Hellview, or were you like always doing the Hellview?
It was just a display, and it wasn't really a theme to it or anything. It was, like I said, it was Blair Witch, I think, was the theme. And then the next year, we decided to do pirates, and then suddenly we had to come up with a backstory for the pirates because I'm a writer and storyteller by nature, so I wanted to come up with this backstory, and I started doing some research on the local pirates. And, suddenly I'm finding out, hey, there are all these missing cemeteries in St. Petersburg that... that we're here, and then suddenly a hurricane would come in, wipe out the settlement, and then people come back, build new things. We don't really care where the old cemetery was. Let's build a house there. So suddenly I'm finding out, oh my gosh, St. Petersburg's filled with empty cemeteries that nobody knows where they are. And you start researching and you find out about the Indians that lived here and built mounds, and just because it was a nice place to visit, and he loves the beaches too, so they just build mounds everywhere and threw all their garbage and bodies, and suddenly, oh, we've got burial mounds everywhere. And suddenly that morphed into the story of we found a local area called Hillview, which was, they called it Hillview because of all the mounds in the area, and so that of course was easy to transform into Hellview for our purposes, and the rest is history, literally.
How large is the haunt?
We have about 1,000 square foot backyard that we squeeze in a 14 room haunt. And then we recently expanded into the front yard where we had about 3 more rooms.
That's a pretty big undertaking. So how many guys are helping you out with all this stuff?
I have a few great builders, Nick Tenorello and Dale Aiden. And we have some other volunteers who help out, True and Alex, a couple really good guys. And and True's an awesome lady. And then Amanda Warrant is really good. And they're our primary build crew. When the haunt actually rolls around, we usually have about 20 to 30 volunteers between actors and line management, and security, and the whole shebang. Even have a fire brigade.
So you got a good crew of people. They've been pretty much with you for the last,
at least
decade?
Ten years for the major haunt, yeah.
because you're doing this out of your home and you have to set up the whole backyard with all the wall panels, how long does it usually take you guys to like put the whole thing together? Lighting?
To be fair, we start in February because it gets so hot in the summers here. And we have to build hurricane proof, which I don't know if you guys know about that, where you have to dig, posts 2 feet into the ground and, make it, so that they are anchored. It's a lot of fun. But
are you calling us all sissies because we do not do that? We don't dig two feet deep. Is that what you're telling us?
Well, if you build out a drywall, we wish we were you because, all it takes is one rainstorm and we're done. If we did that. So we have to build out a plywood and 2x4.
Ah, you crybabies. You fucking crybabies.
Yeah, last year, actually, we had to cancel one night because the winds got so high because it's still hurricane season down here in October. We had the winds so high that it was blowing around a bunch of foam that we didn't properly cement down. So
Shame on you.
That was our own fault.
It does sound like your fault.
Yep, we know better now. We had a guy who was like, no, I've done it this way 20 years in Florida. I've never had a problem. And we were like, well, that's not how we do it. But we let him do it, and that kind of caused a problem. But, we've also had Jim McRae, who's a great facade builder. He's the one who builds our facade every year. He's fantastic. But like I said, we start in February, work through pretty hard through July, but now through August we kind of only work 1 or 2 days a week just because it's way too hot otherwise, and then we hit it pretty hard in September, of course.
What are you making the rooms the panels out of? I mean, you're doing the 8x4s,
usually out of OSB siding. We do a lot out of lattice a cloth that we hang over the lattice, so they're not as sturdy a walls, but they're for like when you're, you know, we do a brush maze every year just with never fails, somebody in the area is cutting down a tree, and we make a forest or a swamp out of that, and with lattice just to keep the people from going places we don't want them to go. But 90% of it's OSB siding and foam, on top of that to give it the detail. So.
So how long you guys been listening to Hauntcast? It was you. Originally?
Yeah. When we started the first year of doing the haunt, like I said, we were on Halloween L and doing looking up internet things, going, how you build a flying crank.
You mean Halloween L when they were doing the email list?
Oh yeah, heck yeah. Message boards.
That is old school. I got in just after that. Like I got into this whole nonsense like just after the Halloween L list.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that became Halloween Forum, and then I think that's still around. We still hang out on that occasionally. We got in with a local group called Florida Haunters off and on, and then it was about that time we discovered Hauntcast. Last year, we decorated this whole, we did a redneck haunted house. Yeah, we did the first half rednecks and the second half voodoo. It was kind of a war of religions was what I was kind of going for our theme last year. And we got most of our haunt supplies for the redneck house came from an old abandoned hotel out on the beach that we found out was being torn down. And they let us in to grab all the furniture and the curtains and just anything we wanted, and it was all this old 70s kitsch stuff, so it was perfect to bloody it up and make it all redneck. We found out it was where they filmed the great movie Spring Breakers, starring the great Selena Gomez. So we went into this one room, and there was this table, and it had all this white powder on the table and T-shirts thrown everywhere, and we were like, whoa, what happened here? And we found out it was the movie set. So... we thought we'd come onto some drug scene, but it was just leftovers from the movie they'd filmed there. So, but we were able to take most of that stuff and use it in the haunt. So,
all right. The last thing we want to talk about is: will you guys be forced to go pro, or where do you guys sit right now?
We were trying to go pro for a couple years, but the property values in St. Petersburg are ungodly high, people don't care about, you know, they've got this old abandoned warehouse that we'd love to just rent for a few months or lease or even, you know, look at buying, but they want to sell it for $6 million because the land's worth that much. So we've kind of been forced into the, well, we either stick doing what we're doing or, you know, some we hit the lottery or some wealthy investor comes and gives us money. Because it's pretty much just been me financially backing it with just a lot of good volunteers. And I'm a single dad, so that's not an easy option. So we're kind of where we're at, hoping that we just keep doing what we're doing. As long as we don't go too crazy. Like I said, we do have the mayor, other people come here every year. So I don't think they're going to shut us down anytime soon. So.
So, Mark, so what do you have planned? What's up for this year that you can release?
Yeah, this year's theme is legends, since it's kind of an anniversary year for us coming up for the big year, you know, for the big haunt. I think it's about our 10th year. So there's some fuzzy math there. We're not sure if it's 9 or 10. But anyway, we're doing legends. So we're doing our take on the classics. We got Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, Family of the Opera, and of course then we switch into more modern monsters, and we're doing we have a bit where you walk through a theater screen and now you're in the more modern era, and we've got slashers and stuff like that. So and throwing in some St. Pete urban legends too. So
great talking to you. Thanks for hanging with us. And what's the phrase I'm looking for? Stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.